College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss, banter, predict all sorts of different games when it comes to the sport of college basketball. We did a shortened show last Thursday because life got in the way Monday and Wednesday. So we're going to back at you kind of on a quick turnaround from Thursday to Monday. So we're going to keep it kind of short since we won't have to dig in to anything last week. We'll just start with some Saturday and Sunday weekend recap. Obviously, there's a big game that's going to tip off in like 30-odd minutes. Number 7, Virginia at number 16, Florida State. And look at that, the postponement right underneath it. Number 2, Baylor at West Virginia. Man, that would have been a damn good game. I'm starting to see a lot of that. Even Virginia Tech, North Carolina tomorrow would have been a nice game. We do have a variety of games this week that we'll talk about. Coming this weekend, though, Virginia Tech at Florida State, Texas Tech at Kansas. Let's see if they can stay alive. West Virginia at Texas, Oklahoma State at Baylor. Baylor coming back from that long layoff, so we'll see how that goes. I mean, there is a variety of good games. Even Sunday, number 3, Michigan at number 4, Ohio State. Talk about a big game, not just within the Big Ten, but a big game in general, if you really add up what that could mean on the national seeding level. So we're going to get into this in just a moment. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. It streams live at archives. You know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and download the show right there on Ropeadope if you don't want to, or listen to it in the browser. You can find this year college basketball show under the Ropeadope Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost anywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? It's basketball, football, boxing, baseball, everything in between. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They have the 7-day free trial. Once you sign up, the plans start as low as $55 a month. There's no annual contract, of course. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. Just for signing up, you get a free 7-day trial of HBO Max. If you sign up for the Max package, that'll include HBO Max, plus a free month of Showtime. That's AT&T TV Now. Like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, so there are a variety of games to recap from the weekend, no doubt about it, but obviously one that really stands out is a game we knew was going to be very competitive. Oklahoma at West Virginia. Austin Reeves comes through down the stretch, double overtime. This game really played out funky because at times you thought, okay, yeah, Oklahoma's going to win. Oh, wait a second. West Virginia's going to – wait a second. I mean, it was not a whole lot happened, actually, in the first overtime, if you look at it. Now, the points got a little bit more up there. It ended up only 91-90 in double overtime, though. But West Virginia, at times, you know, would climb back in you know, would look like have the lead fairly, you know, under 2 minutes, but they just kept answering it, and that is the Sooners. And like I'm looking at it right now, the last bucket, 28 seconds, and Austin Reeves made jumper, 91-90. This was a hell of a game, and I mean, the schedule we've talked about for Oklahoma, but it's not just the schedule. It's them getting, you know, adding to this the victories that they have. I mean, it's been a hell of a run, and they just find a way to keep producing and getting the W. You're muted, Marshall.
Yeah, it's been they've been on quite a roll. I know Baylor's been a little more quiet in the news lately just because they were on a team quarantine. But Oklahoma, you could argue, is the best team in the Big 12. I mean, I know their win-loss record isn't as good, but for the streak momentum they're on, you could say they're just as good as Baylor. I mean, you beat Kansas, you won at Texas, you beat Bama, you lost Texas Tech in a close game, you come back against an easy one against Iowa State, you got the Baylor postponed, unfortunately, now you beat West Virginia. If they're not as good as Baylor, they're playing as confident as Baylor is. And yeah, just you get now got Texas again, Iowa State again, K-State again, then Oak State. This team could easily win their next 4 out of 5. So if you win your next 4 out of 5, you finish the year with a 12-5 conference record in one of the top conferences in the land, you're looking at probably a potential being a 2 or 3 seed, which is it's been a while since Oklahoma's had that. I know they had a pretty good run there with Buddy Hield that one year, but
sure.
And before that, I mean, you're
but they got exploited down the stretch of that season too.
You're right, they did. And I mean, I'm not saying that they've not had great teams between then and Blake Griffin, but for the most part, they're really pretty much a football school that has a respectable basketball team, not with the way they've been playing this year. So credit to Oklahoma, you're on a roll. I mean, you're not Baylor, you're not Kansas, you don't have the top recruit in the whole country like Oak State does for the NBA draft, but you keep winning, and they're probably just surprising people. I know that they just have kind of an all-around good team. When you hear people talk about them, it's like Oklahoma has a stout defense, or Oklahoma's offense is incredible. You just keep hearing people say they're just a good squad that keeps finding ways to win. So as long as the ball's rolling, just keep going. Again, I wish they could have played Baylor. That would have been.
They did play Baylor, though, once.
Well, yeah, you're right. They did lose 76-61 early in the year. And then they lost to then they lost to Kansas after. And since then, Chris, they've won 6 out of 7. So after that little hiccup, they've refigured their team to some extent. Yes, they've been on a roll. So yeah, I can't take away the Baylor win that they post on Oklahoma. It's just right now Oklahoma's probably a much better team, and whatever happened from that little 2-game stretch they're on, they've now just come out looking more prepared, more developed. Offense is clicking, defense is clicking, whatever you want to name the situation. So yeah. I don't think many people had Baylor as a potential 2-3 seed even like a month ago. I mean, you lost to Xavier, you played a couple of no-name schools, you lose at Texas Tech, and you're starting district or conference at like 1-2. So, you know, things were kind of rough, and now they're on a hell of a roll. So credit to them. Like I said, they have a pretty favorable schedule coming down the end of the road. So you could be sitting at a really good chance of being a 2-3 seed in the tournament, which, knock on wood, hopefully we get. And, you know, hell, again, if you make the Sweet 16 this year, I'd probably consider that successful. So credit to Oklahoma. And again, they were the first team to slow down Alabama, who had been on a tear. So they're doing something right, Chris. A lot of props to them.
Yeah, and it's kind of like styles make fights in that Big 12, because they beat West Virginia twice, but then Texas Tech beat them twice. You know, and that's kind of – this is all kind of shaping up to what we were talking about a few weeks ago of, you know, the Big 12 is legit. You know, top to bottom, sure. The Big 10, I think that's hands down. But when you start looking at the top five teams, and start comparing them, it's lining up to be really interesting. We got to see if Texas can play better down the stretch after their break. And also we got to see what Baylor's going to look like. You can keep going on the thought you were going to go on, though.
Well, and I actually was going to rip on myself here for a second. So in our last podcast, we picked two games of teams I've always kind of cheered for in Creighton and the Badger game. And I pretty much said that Creighton had no chance of winning. They'd not played a good, consistent 40-minute game in the last month or even month and a half. And I believe you came back and countered and said, I think Creighton wins. And you pretty much said, I think Creighton puts together a full game. You're going to see the best effort. They'll tie it all together. And they did. So I'm happy I didn't bet Villanova, because it would have been very frustrating to see a team I like to cheer for play their best game of the year. And they kicked ass. Like, Creighton 86, Villanova 70. That is not a game I saw happening at all. Again, Creighton has been playing good for 10 to 12 minute segments of games. And you just ran Villanova out the gym. You outscored them 42-36 in the first half, 44-34 in the second half. You win by 16. That's easily Creighton's best win of the year. Again, you're asking a lot every time, even without fans. Like, college basketball on the road is tough. And obviously Villanova did not have their best effort. But for Creighton, this is a win you needed. You had a shitty loss to Georgetown. You barely beat Marquette. Like, you were in a funk. But for once, they kind of found some rhythm again. They shot 59% from the floor. They shot 12 of 26 from three. They had just kind of all around, all their top four scorers all scored. Hell, Bishop, 16, who's one of their bigs. Jefferson's another big, had 10. Zigarowski, their star point guard, had 25. Balak had 20. And Mahoney, the other guard slash big, had 7. So pretty much almost your whole starting lineup scored in double figures. And Chris, you nailed that one. I was wrong about the team I like, and they finally had a great game, and they just looked really good.
Yeah, and Bullock had 17 of those 20 in the second half. They did put it all together, no doubt about it. Obviously, it looked, though, just to keep going with this theme, that Wisconsin had put it all together there for quite some time, wasn't it?
Sure.
I mean, they had a 12 or what were they up, 12 at half
12.
Or something like that? I mean, 39-27, and then, 40-20 in the second half, and they just freaking, here it was, Wisconsin got the lead up to 43-32 when Michigan bench was teed up following the elbow thing. Then after that, over the final 18:05, Michigan 35-16, and this is Mark Carmen talking about smothering the Badgers on the defensive end, and they just shift the game. It took over. Dickinson had 5 blocks, 15 boards, in 11 points. So the first stat line since Courtney Sims for Michigan since 2004. But, man, did Wisconsin look good there for a while.
They did. And then I think Michigan kind of woke up in the second half. Michigan had not played a game for a while, Chris. So, of course, you expect a little bit of a sluggish start. And unfortunately for the Badgers, their sluggish start only lasted for 20 minutes. And you just saw Michigan get some swagger back. They had some confidence. And Michigan is just a better defensive team. And the issue the Badgers have had in almost all of their losses, almost all, is just offense just sputters down the stretch bad. And in that game, they were 0-7 in the final 4 minutes. And that's the same way that they've been hurt when they lost to Ohio State. They had that hideous loss to Marquette. They had that loss to Penn State. It's just the Badger offense is not that good this year. And I was kind of thinking, just talking to a buddy of mine, and it's like they normally have always had a top or round one draft, NBA draft pick. And this is the first year the Badgers have just not had a go-to score. So you can blame the coach, blame the players. It's just when it comes down to crunch time, you don't have a guy that can get you buckets, and college teams need that because as you watch college basketball throughout the years, the offensive execution in late games is a skill that some teams have and some teams don't. And a majority of time in college basketball, Chris, if you have a stud point guard that can go to the rim, he's going to find a way to get there, whether it's he's going to shoot a three or go off pick and roll and attack, go to the free throw line, something. You have one guy that in college, it's super hard to stop. And they just don't have that. So I know their win-loss record is good. They have a ranking, and they're not a bad team. But their offensive issues, ineptitude, came to hurt them again. And it's just been kind of the same MO for this team. It's like you got to find a guy that can score the damn ball at the end of the game. And the thing that makes you wonder, though, Chris, if you were a Badger fan, and I know you're not.
I was going to say, I'm about to get the damn violin out if we get the segment on the score last too much longer. Jesus Christ.
But the thing is that if it's been this bad all year, ain't going to come around now. You're screwed. You got to find something. But yeah, your offense ain't clicking. It ain't coming around now anytime soon either.
And it's been against the quality opponents, you know?
True.
That's when it's been haunting them, and that's generally Wisconsin speaking. That's generally when they are clutch, is when it is the big game, and they need it and stuff like that. Some other teams that needed to keep their shit going and did, Iowa has turned up the defense in the last 2 weeks or two games, 88 to 58. I don't care if Michigan State's struggling or not. That's a freaking impressive story right there. Bama, buck 15 on a garbage Georgia team, sure, but a buck 15, damn, that's pretty impressive. Ohio State keeps it going against a scrappy Indiana club. A lot of games kind of went their way. LSU, who had been kind of dead in the water for a little bit, turned on the offense and defense, 78 to 65 over a ranked Tennessee. Florida State kept it moving as well. Two games that stood out, though, obviously, well, not stood out. Virginia beat your squad, North Carolina. By the way, I forgot to mention that this irresponsible North Carolina team went out and had a big old party. Who cares? COVID this, COVID that. We're North Carolina. And next thing you know, they're going to miss games. I just had to pop that in. I totally forgot that. But Missouri went down in overtime, and I watched the last chunk of that game last night. Arkansas, who is a good scrappy club. I mean, they've been pretty good. We've mentioned them a little bit. But Missouri, it kind of came to an end there with an upset. But, yeah, I had to get at your North Carolina boys because I totally forgot about that.
I mean, a couple of guys were having a fun time after beating Duke, and again, they probably were
no
not following
regard the, to the law. The, I mean, they just get what? Do they even have to show up this year to class or no? Like, do they have to log on or they just mute the whole time and just I'm here?
I didn't hear what you said, so I'm just gonna call it a different school. and that is Auburn. Good Lord, I want to resend, like, block, stop the count, like, XXX, knock it out. There is no way in hell this team is making the tournament. I watched one of the – I don't even know what to say, Chris. It was so frustrating because their first half against Kentucky was some of the worst half-court basketball I've ever seen in the past 5 years. Auburn's offense, and it blows my mind too, because you have a very talented potential freshman in Shreve Cooper, but all they freaking do is literally let him dribble for 10 seconds, maybe 10 to 15. The shot clock starts to get down. They'll have someone come try to set a pick for him. Sometimes they'll take the pick. Sometimes they'll just keep dribbling and then jack up a three. Either Bruce Pearl has lost his damn mind or they don't know what to do, but I'm not lying, Chris. They literally did not run a single set other than a pick and roll or let Cooper shoot the three. And it blows my mind because, like, about a month ago, we're thinking, okay, that they scored 103 points against South Carolina. Cooper's back on a bit of a hot streak.
23 times, too. 6 of 23. 23 times is a ton in college.
And again, I realize I'm a high school basketball coach, but I do know when teams run sets. And they didn't do shit. I'm massively blown away at how Bruce Pearl just has no clue what to do. And I say that because literally it was dribble, 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 12 seconds left. I'm going to go jack up a three, or they pass down the corner. I don't get how you're literally wasting the talent of a potentially great guard. I know that every team has different, like, styles and everything, but you walk up the court, you dribble for 15 seconds, and you jack up a hideous shot. I'm blown away. It's one of the worst coaching games I've ever seen as a college basketball fan. That's the end of the rant.
You'd think they got blown out by 30. Jesus Christ. No, I'm just kidding. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So no way in hell they make the tournament. If they do, I'll bet against them. But Bruce Pearl, figure out something, dude. Your offense looked like a damn train wreck.
And he still got 80 points out of it too, which is crazy. Six of 23 is rough shooting in general. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. So you want to talk about North Carolina getting beat by Virginia, or you just want to go by that?
We got four freshmen who, if we all come back next year, we're looking at a better team. You know, they'll they'll understand. They'll be a little more mature. The mask will be up a little bit after, you know, hopefully everything is back to normal for next year. No more COVID fears. Yeah, the boys made some mistakes, but again, they're a growing team. I just hope they make the tournament. I hope they try to win a game. Like, this is a young team where, you know, that's what Roy likes to do. Bring in freshmen, let them grow to be juniors and cut down a net. So in 2 years, we could easily be doing a podcast about the Carolina Tar Heels number 7 title. So in 2023, we could be cutting down the nets in March. I'll just say that.
No regard for human life because we want to. Okay. Okay. That's not fair. God. That's not fair. But I figure I got to make up for some of the stuff you say about Duke and how Virginia, you got to actually worry about Virginia this year, but you didn't have to worry about them, you know, when they won the chip, but they, you got to worry about them. And yeah, I got to make up for that, man. So I got to go biased too. I'm going way biased talking about, you know, they don't care about human life. That's horrendous. But speaking of this Virginia club that you finally have to worry about, Virginia at Florida State. This is a big game inside the ACC, and it's tipping in about 13, 14 minutes. Sorry, Common. Had to take your shit.
Yeah, this should be a fun one. As I've said before, and you mocked me a bit for that too, but Virginia actually has a better offense this year than normal. And, you know, they still play pretty good defense. But if you're Florida State, this game would be huge for you. Florida State's, I mean, Leonard Hamilton always has a good team. But I don't think they have that one huge, huge win this year. And this could easily bump them up into the power rankings. We saw that the NCAA came out their top 16 top 16 tier team, whatever thing for the rankings. This could be a big win that would really help you. If you're Virginia, you're still looking at probably getting a potential 1 or 2 seed. This could obviously be a good poster win for you as well. So this is just the top two teams in the ACC facing off against each other. We know that it's been a letdown year for the ACC. Obviously, Carolina has been struggling. Duke has been struggling. You don't see as many ranked teams in the ACC as you normally do. The Big Ten and the Big 12 have taken away a lot of rankings you normally see in the ACC. So, again, this should be a fun matchup. You know, the over-under is 128. Are we going to see a 55-55 game, or will Virginia push it up into the mid-70s? I think and the thing is, they've had their games where they do get it to the 70s, which is not typical for a Virginia team. So I'm going to take Florida State to win just because I know there's no fans, but a majority of the time when you watch college basketball, bet college basketball, like to pick games, most of the time the winning team in a close game wins. I've not seen Florida State play that much this year, but
especially good on good. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, good on good. I know this isn't the most analytical approach or X's no approach, but in a close game, I'll give the edge to the home team. And I know Florida State's -2, I believe, in Vegas. The ESPN model prediction computer Chris always loves to use, I think, predicts Virginia. So you're pretty much at a toss-up for winners. I'm just going to take the home squad, more motivated. They need this win a little more than Virginia. So I'll take the Seminoles to win. And it'll be a fun game to watch because, like I said, I've seen little Seminole play, and that game starts here in about 10 minutes. So it'll be a fun one to enjoy.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. They just need a big win. So I think they're going to go get it. I think that's a good call. And this theme of the Big 12 is just silly this week. It really is. We're going to start with Wednesday's game. Number 12, Texas at number 9, Oklahoma. Texas has had plenty of time to get the rust off. They got those 4 guys back. They got their coach back. What's going to happen here? I mean, is Oklahoma just going to keep getting through people? Did they already play? I forgot. Have they played before?
Yeah, well, Oklahoma beat Texas about 2 weeks ago when Shock goes out with COVID.
And 4 players, 2 starters. So what says you about this one? It just feels like freaking Oklahoma's just on a run. But I did like how Texas stayed in that game all the way to the wire, even though they were shorthanded.
Yeah, that honestly really was a close game. And actually, Texas was up for a majority of the first half. And then Oklahoma finished on like a 12-2 run to go into half. So they had momentum in the second half. They never gave it up. But yeah, for being a shorthanded team, you're without your head coach. That was kind of a tough loss for them to take it home. But as I started off the show, I'm not going to pick against Oklahoma right now. Just like the Utah Jazz run some crazy run the NBA. Like, you don't normally, you just, if a team's on a roll, whether it be a college or pro, you just kind of keep going with them. And I'm going to keep going with Oklahoma. I'm sure they'll probably be around probably a 4 to 5 point favorite at most. But I would definitely take Oklahoma because until they lose the game, I mean, this team is probably one of the hottest teams in the country. So I will expect them to win. You won at Texas. Now you're at home. That should give you an advantage. It should be a fun one. But I'll take the Sooners.
All right. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going Longhorns based off seeing them play. And, you know, I think Texas will just kind of get out of their little funk in the fact that they played right with them shorthanded, not just without their coach, but shorthanded in general. At Iowa, at Wisconsin, I'm actually going to say, I'm going to try it again. I don't know why I keep trying to go up this freaking, something's got to give. It's kind of like, you know, something's got to give for the Gophers on the road. It's up to 0-7 now. Coming off a great win, by the way, off a ranked team, five of them now on the resume for my Gophers over Purdue. Good ass win, hung in there all the way to the end and basically stole the game in a sense. Then turn right around and just get slapped around on the road, 0-7. But I'm thinking Wisconsin, something's got to give in a big game. And I'm going back to the well, even though that thing hasn't given me any water yet. I'm going back there, and I'm picking the Badgers to beat an improved Iowa team to an extent score-wise defensively. But I think Wisconsin is just going to need it more.
I can't take the Badgers. I think I've seen this team lose five of their six games in their Big Ten conference record. It's just struggling to score down the stretch. And with the issues Iowa does have on defense, you know that offensively they've been pretty solid almost the whole year. They had a little bit of a three-game rough patch there, but that was more so of a defensive flaw than an offensive flaw. So I will take Iowa to win, and that spread should probably be probably almost a pick 'em. I know that game is a handful of days away, but Iowa's the better team. It's at Wisconsin. You're going to get a favorable line there if you're looking to bet that game, which with whatever team you like. I would guess it's probably Wisconsin -1 or Iowa -1. So if you enjoy throwing some money down, you can pick either side. You're probably going to be able to get that team to win by a basket or less to cash your bet.
And the Big 12 just keeps coming, dude. On Saturday, West Virginia at Texas. I mean, the matchups just keep coming, like I said, in this conference. You know, obviously, if Texas were to win, you know, the game before this, they may have some confidence. Then you could say, well, maybe they let their guard down. I know that this game came down to a buzzer beater, basically, like a couple seconds left by that Jones. And that was on the road. So I'm big on the Longhorns this week, I guess. I'm going the Longhorns to get the W at home. And if they do what I'm saying they're going to do, talk about, you know, an upgrade in seeding, in ranking, and just feeling good coming down the stretch of February.
I will take them to lose against Oklahoma and then bounce back against West Virginia with a win at home in Austin, assuming that the city of Austin is not frozen into an ice cube and has no power. But yeah, they should be okay, I hope. It's been a mess. Living in Texas, it's been a complete mess down here because people do not know how to live in cold weather, and the state's not prepared for it. But I digress. Speaking of Texas, actually, Texas Tech, who seems to be playing a ranked team every game they play, goes to Kansas. Kansas somehow is ranked 23rd. I'm not quite sure why they deserve a ranking if you look at their win-loss record, whatever. But nonetheless, if you want to, again, look to bet games, Texas Tech seems every game they play is like a single-digit game one way or another, whether it's win or loss. And that'd be a fun one to watch. That game is at 1 o'clock Central Time in the afternoon. And my Missouri Tigers, actually, who are in a bit of a funk after yet a great win against Alabama, and they kind of went a little sleepwalking. They go to South Carolina. That's a game Missouri has to have. Okay, you're ranked 20th right now. You have had some hiccups, but again, you're sitting at a really a nice, respectable looking seat for the tournament. You can't lose to South Carolina. That team is just not that good of a team this year. That's a must win you have to have. I know the road games are tough, but you got to find a way to pull that one out in some way, shape, or form. That's a must win for Mizzou. Another Big Ten game, which is not the most intriguing, but probably would be a fun watch, kind of like when you always like to break down our college football random watches. Sparty at Indiana. Again, we normally always talk a lot about Tom Izzo on our podcast this year, not so much this year. But some people believe that they still have kind of a backdoor chance of making the tournament. You know, like Duke and Kentucky are kind of really struggling. Some people on ESPN think that Sparty could still sneak in. Winning to Indiana is kind of a must. Again, we're so used to Tom Izzo being the March guy. Well, a win to Indiana is a step in the right direction. Again, Iowa just kicked your butt, so you're literally counting down the games you can afford to lose on one hand. So, again, it should be a fun basketball game, but if you're Sparty, you can't lose that one. And also at 11 o'clock that morning, probably a more enjoyable game is Virginia Tech going to Florida State. So Florida State gets to host Virginia and then their fellow Virginia brethren, and they get Virginia Tech. So if by chance Florida State could beat Virginia and Virginia Tech in the same week at home, now you're looking at being a 2-3 seed. Probably for sure. So we're talking about, you just said Oklahoma has a hell of a week along with Texas. Florida State too. Again, you're hosting a team that's ranked in the top five, and Virginia Tech currently is ranked 18th. So we will get a good guess. As I said, when we started our prediction segment, Florida State's resume looks nice, but kind of lacks maybe a couple of splashy wins. You could get two this week. So that could be a very big week for Leonard Hamilton. And I see, Chris, it says to be determined. It looks like your Gophers should be hosting Illinois on Saturday, but they don't quite have a time frame yet for the game. I'm not sure if that's just a rescheduling.
They're going to get flexed into the primetime spot. No, I'm just kidding.
But hopefully that would be a game where, you know, your Gophers have had a really good stretch at home. I know they got beat up against the Turtles last week, and I think Juan Dixon came back with Lonnie Baxter, and they both scored 25. But,
Who was that coach they had? Williams? The other Williams?
Gary Williams. I love him just because it was always Carolina, Duke, and Maryland when Maryland was in the ACC. So it's almost like every Tar Heel fan would become a Terrapin fan and vice versa.
So energetic, too. You could just tell he was so into shit.
Oh, God, that dude just he was so fun to watch, coach. He'd always rip the coat off. He'd always be sweating through his shirt. Dude, that guy was a good for college basketball. Again, I wish Maryland would come back. It feels, God, it's probably been over a decade now, but them leaving the ACC – definitely sucked.
It's not as easy, you know. You can't win. You can't just go and win the shit, you know, when you're in the Big Ten. Just kidding. That. You led yourself down that path. But
true,
you know,
you're right. You're
top
right.
Heavy. I'll always say, okay, but when's the last time the Big Ten won the chip? So we always got to remember that. You know, we always got to put some respect on the ACC for that exact reason. One more pick here, and this is a big one. Ohio State's just lingering. It's not football either. It's not the football. It's basketball rivalry here. Ohio State's right there in the Big Ten. They've been hot as hell. They got all the way up to fourth now. Minnesota beat both these freaking teams. Can you believe it? Ohio State at Ohio State, Michigan and Ohio State, 14-1. Who was that one loss, though? God, I just can't. Oh, that's right. The Gophers by 18. Sorry, this is all I got. We may be in the NIT with 7 ranked wins. You know what I mean? Who knows? So I'm trying to get it all in right now in February. According to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, 52.6% chance to 47.4% in favor of the Buckeyes. And no, there's no Urban Meyer connected to this.
or Urban Meyer trying to hire scumbags from Iowa, which shocking. You know, that guy, you know, Urban Meyer is such a man of class and integrity. And yet that they hire the guy, then 2 days later, the guy resigns. So,
yeah, it's like a damn crooked presidential administration. You just get in there like, oh, sorry, dude, we got to let you go. My bad. We tried, though. We tried. I got your, you know, I'll veto your stuff. Don't worry, I'll pardon you, you know.
The dude got over a couple million dollar severance package from leaving Iowa for being a complete racist scumbag. And then Meyer's like, oh, no, oh, that's my kind of guy.
He's open? Oh, yeah, sign
him
up.
That's my kind of man.
Program first.
Yeah.
Program first, baby. And these guys can't talk back to me because they're pros. I'll just cut them. I don't need to do their, you know, that's what he's thinking. He's like, oh, I can be vicious here. But, you know, you got to admit, dude, he did recruit some killers, dude.
Yeah, the you know, the Pouncey twins retired. I wonder if they're going to come back and both be linemen for him, you know, because they had the free Aaron Hernandez stuff going on. So, oh, Urban Meyer, one of the best coaches I will ever see in our lifetime, one of the worst human beings I could ever imagine. Again, it all started when I once heard from Omni Record that he told a kid on a recruiting trip that God said you need to come and play for me. I had a dream, and the kid bought that.
And it wasn't from the South? When was this? Was this in Florida? It had to be a Florida guy.
Yeah. God's. I had a dream, and the God said, "You gotta come play football for me, son."
It had to be in the Bible. What do they call that? The Bible Belt. It had to be somewhere in the Bible Belt to get that. Hey, God told me I had a dream.
Jesus. But let's. And then the guy teaches a class about coaching and morality in Ohio State. On leadership. But anyways, this is not football, so Michigan may actually have a chance to win. Ohio State, Michigan should be a really fun game. Both of these teams are now looking at a potential one line in March Madness, which, again, I don't think many people predicted. Maybe one team, but not both. I know at the start of the year, Ohio State, I even came on our podcast and said, I don't like their half-court offense. And I'm happy that I got that comment in when they were in a bit of a funk, because since I've said that, they've not lost many games at all. This team, whatever their half-court offensive issues I saw were, are now gone. And this team is on a roll. I will take Michigan to win. I think Michigan's just as good, too. I think this should be a really fun game to watch at noon on Sunday. But I'll take the Wolverines to win. Maybe because they never beat them in football, they can do it in basketball. But both these teams are well coached. They're both hot. I just think that Michigan, just from what I've seen from my vantage point, just looks a little bit better. But again, if you're looking to bet this game, Ohio State's probably a 2 to 3 point favorite at home at most against Michigan. So this should be a very fun game to watch on Sunday, Chris.
Yeah, that Liddell and what is it, Livers or whatever? That's interesting. Dickinson.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Ohio State. The Ohio State is what I'm going. I think that Michigan dodged a bullet from Wisconsin. Not to say that they're playing horrible. I thought Wisconsin was just playing really, 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 really good. But to go on the road again, back-to-back Sundays, I'm just playing the odds here. And plus, the power index, you know, that's what you really go by, obviously. So, no, just kidding. But I'm going to Ohio State. I'm going to Ohio State for the dub. Why don't you say the closing words there, Sal?
On that note, as always, stay safe, stay warm, especially in Texas, man. I lived in North Dakota for most of my life. I know how to survive. In Minnesota, I know how to survive. I have my nice Under Armour coat, which got me through minus 20. So I'll be okay. But again, stay safe, stay warm. Keep wearing a mask. Try to get that vaccine shot if you can. Eventually, this 2020, 2021 year is going to get better. But while you're stuck inside, again, there's a lot of great basketball to watch, especially Thursday through Saturday. So enjoy the hoops. And March Madness is only about a month away. So until then, the boys are out tonight. Peace.